Oh, I must give a testimony of the intercession at the convergence. About the week before we went, the Lord gave us a few visions of brass trumpet blowing and brass bells ringing. And we just gave it through to them. And while we were there, one worship session, we were standing quite at the back, and I heard the saxophone. And I was looking around, and I thought, like, am I only hearing it? Is it angels playing now? And I was looking around, and I couldn't see the saxophone. And then the next day, they put the intercessions behind the speakers. And I thought, like, oh, that's putting us on the spot now. And then we had the worship, and then Yinka started playing a saxophone. And I looked at it, and it was this brass saxophone, exactly what we saw in the pictures that the Lord gave us. And then Heinrich called him to the front, and he said, would you please play the saxophone for us during the worship? And I didn't know, but Yinka doesn't play before people. He will do it part of the worship.
He's never done that.
And he's the confident speaker, but he's not like, no, he can't play in the front. And he went and he started playing that saxophone during the worship over the people. And then on Tuesday morning, we went for a session, a few leaders with him. And the Lord showed me, they called the worshippers to the front in that meeting, and we started praying over them. And the Lord showed me the brass saxophone was the vision that we saw, and he was actually playing a song over the worshippers. And I got so excited. Like, is there anyone playing a brass instrument here? Because we're going to bring it in. So Heinz, you can your trumpet. So that was really special, and it was Heinz, what did he say? So we will let Madeline get the symbols.
Maybe you should ask who's got a brass instrument.
Who's got a brass instrument? John? What did you? You had a penny flute of your mic.
Penny whistle.
It's a bronze guitar, bro.
We're getting there. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Jy sê jy soek 'n nuwe gitaar. Dis wat
Terra
gesê.
Ja,
hy sê
jy
moet
get a
verskoning.
Okay, so and a lot of the things that were all the other intercessions from all over the country, what happened during the convergence, it was confirmed over and over and over, and it was really special to hear the vision of discipling people. How important that is. And what do we do in churches? We equip. We're not here to get a fat, to be a fat church. Okay. As you can say, I'm going to kick you out. So once you equip, you need to go. Okay, you can come back. But you need to equip. Be equipped. Okay, that was one thing. Is another. We're going to have a few testimonies now of the convergence of what the Lord has done. Divine musician. Yes, the week before we went, the Lord said to me, 300 people. And at that stage, we were just over 200, because they sent us the stats. And the week after the convergence, they sent the stats through 304 people. And it was in the context of Gideon's army, and the Lord sent a lot of them back, and he kept 300. And we believe that the Lord sent 300 warriors to the convergence, and they actually have the one in the gate now, so they're busy with the convergence now. So God is doing amazing stuff, and the simplicity of the truth and spirit was beautiful. It kept on coming through. Okay, students, are you gathering tonight? Are you yellow or target? Are you studenten? As long as there's cookies, I will drop it off. So you guys. Okay, they're gathering on Thursday nights, and please join them. There will also be a community for the students where you guys can connect. And then the kids' church. Oh, Mr. Suko, I was so glad to see you this morning. I thought, I'm going to do the kids' church, and I didn't prepare anything. But she picked up, and she's here with the kids. Elijah. Is So yay. So if we see fire out there, it's Elijah burning something. There is a fire extinguisher if the roof catches fire. So just take each one and just start.
Then we all go there.
Then we all go there. Okay. All right. Anything else? There's nothing else that we have to remember. Okay. Opa, you wanna come to the front? I'm putting you on the spot. I've just heard about the testimony of the divine alignment with the guy where you stay. You know, Alpha's dream, you can tell them what is your dream. And our God, all the students stayed at one person's house. And Maurice just mentioned to me what the guy has done.
Hello,
everyone.
Hi, during conversions, we were placed with different host families, and especially one family we were placed with the Van Bakes. So it was me, John, not this John, the other John, Nsuku, and there was another girl named Naomi. So while we were staying there, we were just talking, and then the husband of the family came back home, and he was just asking us what we wanted to do when we finished high school or like university, and I said, I want to go into the film industry. So the husband actually said he's part of a fourth generation of film industry directors, producers, and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he said I must stay in contact with him, and he can actually help me be placed in movie sets and all those things. And it's actually been a dream of mine to actually become a film director and everything. So I feel like God actually put me in that family for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Just for
small things. Yeah, alignment.
Divine.
Okay, you can come. Yeah, nee, is dan so moeilik. Ek
kan nie van voor.
Okay, ek sien nie wat jy stop.
Okay, let me just get my thoughts together. It was always difficult to know exactly, coming from where I come from, exactly what God expects from me. And at the conversions, I always heard discipleship, and standing in a position, and that God's got my back. And I believed it, but it never sank in. It was like, it was information, but it wasn't in my heart. And the first thing Gordon Abaker said was, you need to have an encounter with God.
A divine encounter
with God.
To have a divine revelation.
Exactly, to have a divine revelation. And before I went to the conversions, I was always taught to have an expectation. To expect something from God and pray it from Him. I almost said beg, but not beg, just ask Him. And I only asked for one thing, and it was, I saw that picture of the woman that wanted to touch Jesus' garment.
Mm-hmm.
I only wanted that. And the first thing He said was, you must have an encounter. And I said, but Lord, that's exactly what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And during worship, the Holy Spirit just flooded over all of us, and I had the most amazing experience. I'm all goosebumps. And the Lord just so touched my heart. And in that encounter, God showed me that I was loved. I was purposefully made. I had a purpose. And that I was so special in love. Because I always felt that I wasn't good enough. But then God just lifted everything up, and He showed me how much I was loved. And that was the word that I need to spread. That God loves us all so extremely, He gave his son. But for that to sink in, you need to pray for an encounter, a divine encounter.
Lorica is not here. I just want to let you know, when we left here that morning, Lorica phoned me. She said, I'm so sick. She was really sick. And she sat through that whole convergence and just stood in the intercession. And it was amazing to see a lot of people were sick. And they just shut up. They just, the guys in the media, the logistics, they just phoned us and said, listen, the guys are really sick. Just started praying for them, and they just stood and they did what God wanted them to do. So it was really encouraging. No one of us dared to say you're sick and you feel bad, because that one looks sicker than you. So you just pitched up. Okay, so anyone else? Daniel, John, who was else there? Nisuko?
I think this whole year I've been struggling a bit with a few things, and I understand what you say, you have the knowledge, but it's not part of who you are. And so this, every time I get into this situation or in this mindset of what is going on in my life, then I think to my, or then I'm just like, Lord, well, what is wrong? Like, where are you? I don't feel free. I don't feel like, that's enough. And then I'm reminded of that verse that says, you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. And I'm like, Lord, okay, obviously I don't know the truth then, because I'm not free. And so that's been the kind of a theme for me throughout the year. And then when convergence came up and it was sent in spirit and truth, I was like, Peter, we must go to convergence, because that truth thing, I really need the truth thing.
Mm-hmm.
So then, actually the week prior to convergence, the Lord already started. So we were playing a tournament in Pretoria, and we were staying with people. And it's so blessed when you're among people that are like-minded, because all your conversations are good conversations. You don't really talk about the
politics.
How was your day? Those conversations are good, but these conversations, you know, you're talking about the stuff that you're like, wow, that's food for thought. Sure, let's chew on that a bit. And anyway, so the Lord started there already. And then he's working. And then the week before convergence, I didn't mention it to you, but I picked up that we were picking kapper up with each other. And I was like, these attacks, like, go away. And then, so then we go to convergence. And then from the very first session, and now, expectation. So I'm waiting for this moment. I'm waiting for this, the heavens are going to open. I'm going to be touched. And so that doesn't happen. I'm like, Lord, I'm also expected. Like, come, I'm hungry, bring it. And then, from the very first session, like, then people just, the speakers, they just say something. And it's not this spectacular moment or anything, but I just, for me, it felt like there's like water, and then these seeds of truth or whatever just drops in the water. And there were so many, like, I didn't realize how many lies I believed. Like, I thought it was going to be one or two, but then these people speaking, I'm like, wow, there's another one, and another one, and another one, and I just started feeling so alive, and so like, I'm starting to feel free, because I'm starting to know the truth, and it's starting to make me free, and it was
and I'm really happy. Another thing that I think is very encouraging for us in the congregation is when we did the worship the Tuesday morning with Yinka and the other leaders, he stopped it and he went to the front and he started speaking to a few people, and then he asked, are we together? And I said, yes, me and Maurice and myself are together. Unless it was something prophetic or something. And he started speaking over us personally and over the congregation. And we will give that word to you. But one of the things that I was just reminded of is that he says Bloemfontein, and he doesn't know nothing about us, anything. And he said, there's water under here, and it's like coming up like a spring. It's going to burst suddenly. Nee? That's what I can say. And we got so excited about it because we knew God is doing something here. And he said, it's okay to be different. He said, you guys are doing it a little bit different. Then he said, yeah. He didn't want to say la la before all the other leaders. And he said, it's okay to do it different. This is what you need to do. So I want to say, it's okay for us to do it different here. We don't have to be like everyone else. And God says, it's okay. And he sees us. But there's something underneath. And the water is going to come up. And it's going to happen suddenly. And the word is coming repeatedly that this is like a lighthouse.
Yep.
And the people, you know, a lighthouse is where the ships, they see where to go. And it makes a lot of light. And people coming here, they say, this is like a lighthouse. So, yeah, we are expectant to what God is doing. And we it's okay to be different. We know we can sometimes be a little bit wacky. And we don't do like everyone does it. But it's okay. God sees us and he says he likes it. Sure. Okay. Let's worship together. Anyone else that wants to say anything? Yes, Nisuka.
Hello. Okay. God just brought this to my remembrance and it just came to mind throughout the conference. So I think basically baseline of what convergence was basically discipleship. We should also encourage the people around us to come to God. And I think that this was confirmed during a couple of testimonies through convergence as well as a word I received. So there was this lady, I don't know her name, but basically she had a vision. So when she had a vision and basically she saw basically feathers falling upon people, and there was a white feather as well as gold feathers, and the white was representing purity, and the gold was representing serving. So I think it is, yeah, basically that is what God had interpreted the dream to her to mean. And I think that was very profound for me because earlier that day I met a lady in intercession and we had a conversation. She asked me what my name was and then I explained what my name is, Soko, and she asked what it means. And I should stop telling people what my name means. And basically my name means God. And then she went on to tell me that, okay, God says when you're building a foundation, build it on the foundation of gold, because he will come and purify you. And anything that is going to withstand the purification process is gold. And I had received this word a couple of weeks before when I visited Josh Jendor's the ladies event, and I visited it, and another lady gave me the same thing. And I think that was basically the word I received was serving. It takes me back to when I started yoga. Okay, this also goes back to, I had a conversation with another person who was part of Shofar, but now he's part of Shofar Johannesburg, and basically he left Shofar when there was the whole chaos around it. And basically throughout that, we had a conversation of why didn't you leave the church and why he left the church. And I basically explained, well, I didn't leave because God never mentioned going to leave. And that took me back to why God put me in Shofar in the first place. And I remember what he put me here and said was basically serve. And I feel like this was God really taking me back to, I want you to serve my people. And I think that is what convergence brought back to me. Yes.
And so there are many testimonies, a lot, yeah. I can't even remember everything. We're still processing everything, but God keeps on reminding. Do you want to tell us about China?
It's a non-convergent testimony.
Yes, yes,
please. Okay guys, so I'm just going to share, it's still quite fresh because I only got back on Friday. So long story short, Gemma got chosen to play hockey in the Netherlands. And we went to go on this tour, and because I'm with them and I said, okay, I'm going with, they asked me to be a manager. So I managed their team and we were on our way to Netherlands. But I'm also on the International Liaison Committee for Resuscitation, and we meet in a different country every year. And this year we were meeting in Taiwan. So the two overlapped. So I went with Gemma and with the team, and then the thing was I had to fly from Amsterdam to China to Taiwan. So that was kind of the plan. So there was a lot of administration, a lot of stuff to do, and we checked the stuff. We thought we checked the stuff properly, but I'll tell you now, we didn't, and I don't know why we didn't, but we'll figure it out sometime. Anyway, so Amsterdam, and that was interesting. While I was standing waiting for the kids who were shopping, I had a Muslim man who tried to convert me. He wanted to give me a Quran. And he was genuinely sincere, and he actually asked me, no, I'm a Christian. He's like, yes, there's lots of people around here who say they're Christians. I'm like, you don't understand. I've got the Holy Spirit. I know God. It's not a checkbox for me. And he tried with all these angles with me. He's like, but do you say there's only one way to God? So I'm like, yes, the man Jesus Christ. I know that. I have a personal. And he's like, very confused. And he's like, his inaccuracies in the Word of God. And he's trying all this stuff. And I was just like, look, I don't know all the answers, but this is a real lived experience. And he was so confused. And then one of the kids phoned me, and I answered. And then when I turned around, he left. So he just decided this wasn't worth it anymore. So I just hope that I prayed that night that he would just be thinking about this face. And like, what
is this?
Anyway, so we end off in Netherlands, and Gemma is going home with the rest of the team, and I'm flying to Taiwan via Xiamen. Right. So in Amsterdam, they check my passport for the destination and they sign it off. I've got everything I need, get on the plane, land in China where there's no Wi-Fi, you can't almost do anything. They check my passport again to go to Taiwan. They sign it off, they say it's fine. I get on and I land in Taiwan at about 7 or 8 at night, but it's like a local airport, and I get to the final checkpoint and they're like, you don't have a visa. You can't come into the country without a visa. And I am like flabbergasted. I'm like, what? Because we had looked and we had found stuff about tourist visas, and I immediately Google it and it says, you cannot enter Taiwan as a South African without a visa.
Yep.
So I'm like, oh, flip. Okay. Anyway, so now this is for them, because my passport's been checked 2 or 3 times. They fine China $10,000 for letting me through. I'm at a port, which isn't an international port. So I say to them, I can change, you can deport me or whatever, but just let me get on the plane to go home. They're like, no, we can't do that. We can't let you in the country to let you on the plane. So now I'm there and I'm phoning yours and I'm like, I don't know what to do. They're telling us to rechange the tickets. They're like, I can either go via Hong Kong or a whole bunch of stuff, but it's very broken English and all this kind of stuff. And even now and then they come and say, oh no, let me change the tickets and say, you can't go to Hong Kong because you have to change terminals and you don't have this and that. Long story short, we had an airport that then closes down. The next flight's in 24 hours. So I'm sitting on a chair there, not knowing what to do, with a Chinese, forced Chinese bride who is also being deported, who doesn't speak English, who just every now and then looks at me and goes, and I'm like, don't have food, because there's no food, there's nothing. It's literally, so they had to get the deportment agent to look after me for the night. So she sleeps over because they need to watch me. I need to ask if I have to go to the bathroom. They can only give me water. I had little snacks from the plane. And now we all this. So I'm on an in-hospital cardiac arrest steering group. So I send them an email. I'm like, guys, I'm so sorry. I'm not going to be able to make the meeting tomorrow. This is what's happened. And the one guy starts CCing in other people and saying, waiting, can you do something about this? We really need Michelle at the meeting, can we, blah, blah, blah. So now they're trying to sort out a visa, emergency visa for me to come in, which seems pretty impossible. Anyway, so I sleep there in the detention place. I made friend with my parole officer. That's what I like to call her. Her name was Fanny. We got like selfies. It felt like a normal doctor on call room in South Africa, so I didn't feel too shocking. But anyway, it was, if you look at it, you'll be like, oh, that's quite bad. Anyway, but while I'm in the room, Gemma and I had swapped bags when we were in Netherlands, because I won a big banana for Kayla, and my bag was too small. So I swapped, but there was a cable tie on the one thing, which I opened just before I left. So now I'm in the room and I open it. I'm like, why is my bag so heavy? And it's Gemma's Bible. So anyway, so it's this Bible. So I'm like, okay, well, this sucks. Maybe I'm here to just place the Bible. So we sit through it, and now they say, no, they have to transfer me to the other side because I need to then fly out to, by this stage now, I have to fly China, Paris, Joburg. I'm not even allowed to fly back straight. And we're waiting for the 8 o'clock thing. So I'm like, I know, I'm just going to leave the Bible here because maybe someone needs to read the Bible. Anyway, and I think, okay, I'll buy Gemma a new Bible. Anyway, so I left the Bible in the room I was at. So they woke me up at, I think, 6 or 7 in the morning, which is actually 1 o'clock South African time, that's 6 hours across. And then they took me to a small holding room in somewhere where I sat for 4 hours. There's handcuffs there. I wasn't handcuffed, at least. And then they asked me if they could buy me food. I said, I don't have money. I haven't drawn money. I can use my card. And then they were actually really gracious. They said, the one lady took me to a place. She's like, just come back then. You know, she let me have a little bit of freedom and all that sort of stuff. Thinking, and yeah, about 12 or 1 in the afternoon, they came and they said, here's your permit. You're allowed to enter the country. Which in itself, I mean,
it's
okay.
A
it's a Saturday. They don't
sure.
work. This will happen at 12 o'clock local time. Okay, so now they let me into the country. Waiting, who's the head of the hospital there and the whatever, decides the people give him the permission. But my permit says I can come in, but I can't leave without a visa. But I think everything's sorted out, so well, cool, we go in. So I go in, they take photos of me at another conference, which they're using because it's government-sponsored, a critical care conference. So those photos are there to show the immigration officers what's happening and all that. And I keep saying to waiting, when am I going? Because I have to go to the physical foreign affairs office. And he keeps saying to me, they're still trying to get the documentation right. So we're now having the conference, I'm at all my meetings, we're doing this stuff. Obviously everyone is enthralled now with Michelle the fugitive. So I'm sitting like with the biggest names. I have breakfast with me because they want to be with this fugitive woman. Anyway, but the whole time this thing's in the back, not coming through, not coming through. So what actually happened, I think, in the background was this waiting, they don't know why they gave me the permit. A lot of people said yes, but when they had to physically put it in black and white, they felt like they were going to get a bit troubled. So they didn't want to give me the visa. So my plane was booked for Wednesday afternoon. On Tuesday, waiting comes to me and says, you left your Bible at the airport. I'm like, anyway, I was a bit scared. But the one officer, Chan, Captain Chuang, she had said it's a very important book. She can see it is. So it needs to get to me. So Waiting drove to the airport and got the Bible. But in so doing, met Waiting. So they now made a connection. And then gave it to someone else and made sure that I got the Bible back. So now I had the Bible back, but I still didn't have a visa. Anyway, so then on the Wednesday afternoon, my plane was booked at 7 o'clock to come out. And Waiting's words to me was, he's been speaking to his lawyer. So he got his lawyers and everyone involved. He says he thinks it will be best for them if I leave the country. but actually, they probably have to deport me to Hong Kong. I have to stay there for a while till the visa gets ready. And then maybe they can bring me back and then they can only release me. So this is all going on in the background. And I'm in the military, for those of you who don't know. No one knows that. If they find out I'm in the military, I'm in big trouble, because I'm a military doctor. Anyway, so I'm just like, okay. So I'm praying a lot and doing all this stuff. So we were at the general council for the ILCOR nominations, and I'm sitting there waiting, like we're getting the stuff ready. 2 o'clock afternoon, still busy there. He looks at me, he's still taking photos of me in the meeting to send to the officers. So they can't find anyone with authorities who wants to sign me off. Planes at 7. Anyway, they were not going to let me get out of the country. Anyway, so yeah, at 2 o'clock he says, okay, we think it's ready, you can go. But now I have to go to the foreign affairs, and it's all like obviously in different languages and all of that. So the one guy I'm with, Vinay Nard Karney, who's like this super hectic doctor, he's got his own Wikipedia page. He was my luggage guy, so he was putting my luggage for me. He also got my Bible for me, anyway. And we got there, and we were there with two interpreters. and the lady, and she was still asking questions, and he was just like, do you have your two photos? Buy them. I'm like, what two photos? This is already 3 o'clock, right? Planes at 7. So it's just getting, let me go take photos, and then they tell me I can't stand at that photo booth because my hair's too white, it won't stand up in the background. Stand in another one, then they're fixing the hair of the person. Anyway, because they get to choose which ones they like. They take 4 or 5, the people in front of me, and they're like, no, this one, you know. Anyway, so we get the photos, go up. Vinay's done my online application for me. We go there, every time they ask and see, and you know, you're wondering, is this actually gonna come through? So now we're at about 10 to 4, okay? Planes at 7, I still have to get to the airport. So they take my passport and disappear with it behind somewhere, and we wait and we wait and we wait. And at 4:15, they walk out with my passport with a visa in, printed in my, like the whole thing. Yes, my visa. Take my visa, climb in the thing, got to the airport. Got through the first part, through the second part. Obviously the date was different, so everyone debated it the whole time, everywhere I got. Got back to my friends at immigration, and they were excited to see me, but they first checked there was a real visa. And then got to China, luckily okay, and then flew to Paris, and then spent a day there, so I was home within 48 hours. But in the end, what I think happened, my Bible, or Gemma's Bible, made that lady contact that man, and she was the contact in the end that got to the to Foreign Affairs to issue that. Without that connection, they didn't have each other's numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, I'm just planting my Bible, yeah, whatever. But in the end, that happened. Yeah, so I landed on Friday afternoon, and I'm now here, and I've got a legit visa, in case I feel like going there next week. yeah, so it's been very, very traumatic, but it was a very surreal experience, but also we had to trust God. There was absolutely nothing we could do the whole time. They also say they don't know how I got there with everyone checking my passport either. So, like, that is the thing that's the strangest. So God, yeah, I just got this distinct feeling, I'm not in control, God is in control. Every time I try and figure out what I think he's trying to do through this whole thing, is a curveball. So it's like, again, my ways are higher than your ways. I've used the foolish things of this world, you know. But I mean, yeah, so that's the story. I'm here. And I thank God for this, because it really is a miracle. I don't know how to, I don't know why it had to happen like that. But in it, there were quite a few people who were discussing the Bible and the importance of it. And yeah. And I trust that it's going to make a change in their lives as well. Yeah.
Do you have a contact number of that lady?
I have a good one, Sammy.
Yeah. I think there's going to be a follow-up story on this.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, please.
For next week.
Yes, Father, how wonderful it is to have our sister. Father, I like those words. It just says, everywhere as he looks at it, there's a good one. Thank you, Lord, that we can declare our dependence on you.
Mm-hmm.
We can say that we trust you.
Mm-hmm.
Father, you are the giver of life. You are the giver of all good things.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't look at those things. We look at you
mm-hmm.
as the giver, as our God and as our Father.
Mm-hmm.
And we thank you, Father, that you showed once again, show you are a Father, and you're showing to us this morning that you are a Father, no matter how chaotic it gets, no matter what part of the world, backside of the world we end up in, you are a Father, and that you are those people's Father, everyone's connected to them. We declare this morning that you are their Father. We declare that there's a germ, there's a seed, and in that seed is fruit.
Yes.
And we, Father, we trust that that fruit is your life. That will spring up in those people you're connected to. Thank you for using this physical Bible, using it, Lord, as a key, and not even the word in it, but just the physical Bible to connect people together. We give you all the glory for your wisdom in Jesus' name.
Thank you. us a lot this morning. While we were worshipping, the Lord just reminded me, and I don't know if we shared this with you guys, the rezoning has been approved.
Whoa.
Yeah. We are a home church now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and Barney started this process, and now we're reaping the benefits. And God is so faithful. So we can put a sign up. It's a church. No more Google. thank you, Jesus, for Google, for bringing people here. So, yes, I just want to give him all the glory. Michelle saw this building, and she just kept on pushing that we will buy this building, and it will be a church. Yes. Yeah, it took a little bit of convincing to tell Yini. And guys, we are finally being rezoned as a home church. Yes. And that's wonderful. And it was a long wait, but it was worth it. It was a fight in the spirit. So we are really privileged, and we feel so privileged that we can be part of it. And all of you can be part of it. So we just need to watch this space, what the Lord is going to do. Amen. Peter, you can say. The children may go out. I think they are very anxious. They want to burn a fire now.
So, yeah, I was thinking the whole time should share or not to share. And since this has come up, I think it's just appropriate. When we were interceding then in Randburg, I was just able to do the one intercession session with everyone. But yeah, I just got a vision of a fountain or a spring, almost a small spring popping up in the middle, and I thought it was for there for convergence, and it just flowed throughout the building, and the water came up throughout the building, and there was another part to it. Just got this image of a tire having a flat, and how do you see a flat by putting it in water, and bubbles come out, and I think the Lord was actually telling me that that's for this congregation. He just wants to come and show us the there used to be a flat, but He wants to come near it. He wants to come and repair that flat through His Holy Spirit, the water. So, yeah, I think just want to encourage all of us. But, yeah, I just got this. I don't know, I'm not, people think maybe I know my Bible really well and don't know it that well. I don't know scripture inside out, but I think the Holy Spirit just shows me sometimes, okay, where in the Bible it maybe stands. I was just thinking in my mind about prophecy and those type of stuff, and us as a church maybe holding back sometimes. There's within this congregation, I think there's so much potential that the Lord wants to come and release over this city to, as you said, the lighthouse. All right. But I went, I knew it was somewhere in Corinthians or Ephesians or Philippians, but then I just opened it and it fell into Corinthians, and it says, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in tongues builds up himself, but the one who speaks prophecies builds up the church. Now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up. I just want to encourage you to, if you've got anything on your heart, to share it. It's for encouragement of the whole church. As it says here, upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. It was just so amazing now, everything that was said, all the testimonies that was brought. And when you had just said this, it was so amazing.
Anyone else have a word for encouragement? Okay, I'm not going to preach this morning. And shout yay.
Yeah.
Okay, I will pray for us. Thank you for that word. You want to come and stand? Yeah. Let's pray that word into this congregation. Yes, Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Sometimes, Father, some of us are scared of the Holy Spirit, just the mention of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But we ask, Father, that you will come and teach us afresh from your word, from your heart, the gifts of your Spirit and the flow of your Spirit, especially. We don't want to fall into structures and into religion, but we want to flow with you. Do your work in us, Father, as a congregation. Come and show us your glory, Father. Thank you for Peter. Thank you for courage to share your word. Thank you for this fountain, Lord, that he saw, that you showed him. We know that you are that living water. You said to that woman at the well, if you can only know who's sitting there, if you can only know, you will ask me for this water and you will never thirst again. It will become in you a fountain of life, springing up forever. So we thank you that you are that living water, Lord Jesus. And this morning we're drinking once again from you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
So it is the scripture, it's Revelation 5, verse 10. The heading of the chapter is the Lamb opens the scroll, and verse 10 it says, and you have caused them to become a kingdom of priests for our God, and they will reign on the earth. But I just want to read the verse before that also, and it says, and they sang a new song with these words, you are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals and open it, for you were slaughtered and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have caused them to become a kingdom of priests for our God, and they will reign on the earth.
Thank you. So the topic this morning is being strong in faith, you glorified God. Another one that I had was being strengthened in faith. He gave glory to God. Depends on the translation that you're using. I'll give a little bit of a teaching. I'm not going to preach, but I'll give a little bit of a teaching. Okay, so faith, if we talk about faith, and we've said this many times,
It's Hebrews 11, verse 6. May I read it for us? Those that have their Bibles can go to Hebrews 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Another translation says that he who comes to God must believe that He is. And that is the exclamation mark. He is. His character, who He is. We spoke about His fatherhood this morning. This verse that Talitha just read. It's just the glory of God. We'll speak about the glory now. But God's face shining upon us as His people, His priests, His kings. So faith is to know that God is. We walk by faith. Faith is not this mystical quality of comparing one to the other and say, my faith is stronger than your faith. Faith is based in God and in His character. So we walk by faith. As we walk by faith, we are strengthened. He says in Romans, I think in Romans 1, he speaks about faith, from faith to faith. It's almost like every step you take, you are saying, God, you are. Remember when he appeared to Moses in the burning bush? I am who I am. God, what must I say to these people, a stubborn people? You tell them, I am who I am. This is Yahweh. This is the God I am that I am. So faith starts with that, where we look up to God. No matter where we are, even in China, in Taiwan, wherever we find ourselves, in tough spots, that our wisdom stops working. It's this looking up to God and saying, God, only you can do this. This whole chapter of Romans 4 talks about righteousness. And Paul is addressing the fact that we have a work righteousness where the glory goes to us. So we, in a way, we steal the glory from God because we are working the righteousness. It's not the righteousness that comes from God. His righteousness is freely given. It's not based on what we do or don't do. We can become religious. I can become religious and say, I read this word so much every day. I pray so many hours a day. And then I start telling you about it. Glory is coming to me. It's not going to God. So definitely it's not the righteousness of God. Even though it looks good, it's not His righteousness. So the righteousness of God, normally there's suffering, there's persecution that goes with it. Because that's the righteousness that this world doesn't want. And you see in Jesus' life, His righteousness, and in the works righteousness of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And you see the difference. And Jesus was always addressing that righteousness that they were proclaiming. And they said, based on scripture, this is what we do. We fast, we give tenths, we go to our parents. Jesus said, you are focusing on the outside of the plate, but the inside is dirty. He says you're making converts for hell worse than yourself. Jesus wasn't fooling around when it came to this righteousness. There's a lot of it in the church, and we need to confront it. Encounters are very good, and we spoke about encounters this morning, but after an encounter comes confrontation in love. So we don't allow this other righteousness in our life, in our own life, and also not in the church's life. So then the glory of God. Remember when God made Adam and Eve, He made them in His own image. And they mirrored who God was. That's glory. He's mirroring the character of God. It's always been God's intention for man to mirror who He is. When He came and He wiped out the whole earth except for Noah and his family. He made Noah a promise. And he said, I will never do this, first of all. The symbol is the rainbow. I will never do this again. I will never wipe out every living thing. But he spoke to Noah. That's the first amazing thing he spoke to him. He said, I make a covenant with you. First covenant that was made. Second covenant is this one. Just go to the first slide. With Abram, he made the second covenant. He came to Abram, first of all, I think I must just maybe carry on with this, Hebrews 11, we're going to get to that within a moment. So we said by faith, this is now verse 8, by faith Abram, when called to go up to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. That is such an amazing statement. Almost like in this world that we are living in now, it's strange when you tell people, God told me to do this. They sort of look at you, hearing voices, that condition. Immediately label you, that psychotic condition that he has, is hearing voices. But even here, 4,000 years before Christ, God came into the deserts of Haran, and the tents of Haran they call it, and spoke to Abram. As a man, he appeared to Abram. It's probably Jesus that appeared to Abram. He wasn't alone. I think there was two angels with him, but they looked like normal men. And Abram invited them to stay with him and to eat with him. And God spoke to Abram and made him a promise, twofold promise. So he first called him out of where he was, Ur of Chaldees. That was his safe place, that's where he grew up. The Chaldees was idol worshippers. They served the god of Molech, so they were killing little babies, putting little babies into the fire. And so God called him out of that, and he listened, and he followed God with no backup plan. Does that sound familiar? If God ever called you like that, no backup plan. You would think that when God calls you out of a place and he sends you, that things will go up like this, from glory to glory. Normally it feels like it goes down like this. It comes up eventually, but first it goes downhill. And this is what happened to Abram, going into the deserts, in his family, away from what they knew. And in that desert, God came to him, said to him, I'm going to bless you. And God says, and Abram said to him, but how's it possible? I think he was 90 at the time. Sarah was 80. Said, it's impossible. My legacy is going to my Syrian son, my son from Damascus. My legacy is going to him. It was one of the servant's sons. And God said, no, let me show you something. And he showed him the stars. I've never been in a desert and seen the stars, but it must be beautiful. I've seen it on the Drakensberg, and it was very beautiful. He says, come see the stars. Your inheritance is going to look like that. Your legacy, your destiny is going to look like that. God visually showed him, connecting him to this side of the brain. We want to do everything from this side. God was connecting him to this side. This is what I'm showing you. This is where you're going. So, the glory of God we see in Abram, that he came and he spoke to a man, and this man listened, and he followed God without a backup plan. God's intention to show who he is as the Father through Abram. That Abram now can be called our Father by faith. What is faith? Faith is this germ. It's like this seed, and in it is fruit. We look at a seed of an apple tree, that small little pip, put it in the ground, it dies. And the life that comes from it produces apple, lots of apples. So faith is this germ. You don't know what the fruit will be, but it will be God-like. It will be amazing fruit, and it will be God-like fruit. That's faith, as simple as that is. Looking at God and trusting Him, like your testimony, Albert. You had this dream. I heard that dream a year ago when you started here. And look what God is doing. God, the dream that God puts in our hearts, never underestimate and never stop dreaming. There's desires, unique desires in every one of our hearts. Never stop dreaming, not even at the age of 60. Never stop dreaming. Always dream, because that desire is so powerful. And desires are not evil, except when they become selfish. Desires is written into our hearts. It's a blueprint that God has put into every one of our hearts. Follow hard after that desire, because God will give you the desires of your heart. So the glory of God is Him, His own reflection through us. It is never individual. It's always in a collective. So it started with Abram, but he said to him, look at the stars. This will be your legacy. So today, when we say we have faith in Jesus Christ, we are part of that legacy that God gave to Abram. Even the Jews were saying that in the flesh, Abram is their father. And this is what Paul is addressing in this chapter. I'm not going to do it verse by verse this morning. Just speaking a little bit. So what he's addressing here is this self-righteousness that they're talking about, but Abram is our father in the flesh. Yes, that's true. Abram was their father in the flesh. But Jesus said to them, there's something more. I want Abram to be your father in the spirit, because I want you to believe in Jesus Christ. By faith in Jesus Christ, Father can, He can be your father. So I think what I want to get to this morning is there's a fine line between works righteousness and the righteousness of God. We can do works, but we must not rely on those works for righteousness. God looks at the person that does the works. He doesn't look at the works, and the works determine the person. Do you understand that statement? So by faith we move, faith by faith, step by step. And from that faith walk, works flow, or let's call it fruit. That gives glory to God, according to that first slide. That is what gives glory to God. Any other works that we do gives glory to man. And you can test that always. So the ones that give glory to God, that's where the persecution and the difficult times will come. So we're not preaching a gospel of prosperity where everything always goes well. You heard with Michelle, things can go sideways. But prosperity, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:23, is spirit, soul, and body. Paul is saying, I wish that when Jesus comes, you will find on this earth a people that is prosperous in their spirit, in their soul, and their body. That applies to healing as well. Healing first starts in the spirit. We get saved. Then it moves to our soulish realm, our mind, our emotions. And then it moves to the physical. There's one other thing I wanted to talk about. What was that? So we talked about the glory of God. We talked about faith. Yes, we were talking about the collective. So when He showed Him the stars, that was the body of Christ. Madeleine, you were speaking about posture this morning and position this morning. Jesus is the head of the body. So authority, the authority lines in the kingdom of God. It starts with Isaiah 22, verse 22, where it says that on the shoulder of Jesus is a prophecy about Jesus. says, I've put the key of David on your shoulder. So Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. The Father has given him all authority after he was resurrected. Now Jesus is the head of the body. He says, I'm giving you now these keys. Everything that you close will be closed. Everything that you close in heaven will be closed on earth. Everything that you lock and everything that you open will be in heaven will be open on earth. It's authority lines, but there's a position, there's a posture, there's us submitting to our King, to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are, as a body, the truth is against individualism. I think I've said this before, but for many, many years, I tried to follow God on my own. And he had to break it open to me. Group identity is what I am about. Yeah, individual identity in Christ is important. But from that automatically flows group identity, because Jesus has a body. And he is the head of that body. So always allow him, when we are together, to connect us by his Holy Spirit. Not by this left brain, but by the Holy Spirit, to connect us with one another. To break those walls that we have set up. There's some healing that can only take place in a group. It's not individual, it's not one-to-one. There's some healing that needs to happen in the mind and in the emotions that only happens in the body. And that's it. That's all I want to say this morning. Is there any questions? I've just started the conversation. There's still a lot we can talk about this chapter. But I just wanted you to start thinking about it. And we can carry on next time. Can I pray for us? Father, thank you that we can be here. Thank you for your word. Thank you for you, Lord, that you come through your word and through the Holy Spirit, and you come and show us what is important to you. And Father, we want to declare what is important to you is important to us. And we want to run with you, Lord. We want to trust you for who you are. We want to get a bigger revelation of you every moment and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.